free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
It's Thursday, March 26, 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. Today, we're going to take a look at how the federal bureaucrats have not only locked down this country, but they've also locked down health care. I tweeted out yesterday, I said, I never voted for Anthony Fauci. And yet, and nobody did. He never stood for election. This is the problem that has been a longstanding problem in America, and these chickens have really come home to roost. It's time you wake up and see what these people are doing to us. They can not only force the government to shut down, and it's these bureaucrats who are telling everybody they're not issuing the order, although they were given the power to do that by executive order under Obama. That should concern you. But they don't have to do that. They can hold press conferences, and the media will do the job for them. The local government and state officials will do the job for them. The president will also join in and tell people, you got to shut down. Now he's turned around, fortunately, but not quickly enough. And then when it comes to health issues, they're going to save us, right? Except, as I pointed out yesterday, when we started talking about ventilators, you've got ventilators that you need ventilators? Well, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to come through the FDA inspectors. You need medical supplies? Well, we got tons of them parked at warehouses, but they're waiting for FDA inspectors to come before anybody can even touch them. And we don't know when the FDA inspectors will be here. You want test kits? We got test kits. And so now the FDA has told companies that had already set up 250,000 test kits for home testing. You would think that that would help, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it help to know if you've got the coronavirus, you could self-quarantine? And if you don't, you can get back to work? Oh, that's not the agenda. They don't want that to happen. As a matter of fact, if you've got home test kits, not only are they not going to be allowed to be sold, but the people have already done the test and have sent them to the FDA-certified labs to be tested, the FDA says, no, you can't give them the results. You must destroy that. So test kits, stop. Ventilators, stop. Promising treatments, stop. We haven't approved that 76-year-old drug that's been in use for 76 years, approved by the FDA. We haven't approved that for this use, only for malaria. So stop with that. However, for vaccines, oh, you need to accelerate that. We got to do that faster than we've ever done it. And look at, we're moving on this. We've never gotten this quickly to human trials before. Do you see an agenda here? I do. And we better wake up to what these people are doing. No testing, no ventilators, no treatment, just vaccines. Accelerate that, stop everything else. You know, there was a story today, it's a tragic story coming out of Italy. But I think it is as tragic as it is a metaphor for the U.S., for the globe. It's an Italian nurse who finds that she has coronavirus. She committed suicide because she was afraid she would infect other people. Is this not what we were doing as a country? And I'm not talking about Dan Patrick or Britt Hume who are out there saying, yeah, that's right. I think old people ought to risk their lives for the economy. This has always been the problem of conservatives. They don't know how to pick the terminology and they don't know how to message. They don't know how to communicate. Look, I don't give a flip about the economy. Who cares about that? When you say the economy, people think big corporations and stock markets, and that's what you see with the tweets out there. No, no, no. I want to get America back to work so that we don't have shortages of food, shortages of medicine, shortages of everything that you get when you have a depression. I want to make sure that we can get the government off of our back, and I want to make sure that we not only have the things that we must have to live, but I want to make sure that we have liberty, because we have to have that as well. And we have a shortage of liberty being mandated by these bureaucrats. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
It's Thursday, March 26th, year of our Lord 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to take a look at the ingredients of the Pelosi pork sausage. There's going to be a vote today in the House. Evidently, there's been coordination between the House and the Senate to come to an agreement. So I imagine what was passed 96-0 in the Senate yesterday is going to go through in the House. But we will take a look at what that is and whether or not that is a good thing. I think that we're just moving closer and closer every single day to a centrally controlled economy toward command and control from Washington. And I don't like that. And we're going to take a look at that, and I'll tell you how this is killing us. It's not just a lockdown of our economy, the forced closure of all of these businesses, the forced unemployment from everybody, now forcing us into being beggars at the federal trough. How's that for putting yourself in power over other people's lives? That's what these politicians are doing. And the Democrats are just racing to do it. But, of course, the Republicans are right there as well. And so now, after they shut down people's jobs by mandate, they're going to come around and give us a little bit of a handout. And you better thank them for that dime that they give you when they drop it in your cup. They're forcing us into the Depression. I didn't live through it, but my parents' generation did. And so I have some appreciation for it that millennials do not have. And when we look at what is happening here, and we're going to take a look at, it's not just the shutdown of our jobs and making us all government dependents, and then pushing the fact that we are going to have more surveillance, more martial law, more dictates from our masters. But it's also our masters are shutting down our ability to have health care. They don't care about you. Just understand that. We've got the FDA, who has been an obstacle in terms of ventilators, and it remains to be seen whether or not these emergency orders are going to allow them to do any more, because they said that they were going to get out of people's way a little bit, as I reported yesterday. You can't manufacture ventilators if you change anything about the design, anything about the hardware, anything about the software, anything about the materials. If you take a ventilator that was designed for home use and you try to use it in intensive care because you've got people who are struggling to breathe there and dying, oh, no, that's not allowed. Can't do that. We might relax those restrictions a little bit. Doing the same thing with treatments that are promising. Oh, no, we've had that drug. We evaluated it. We know what the side effects are. Compared to other pharmaceuticals, it is pretty safe compared to other pharmaceuticals. It's not to say that it doesn't have some very severe problems for people using it. All these pharmaceutical drugs do, but it's been used for 76 years for malaria. But no. We've got, even here in Texas, we have the pharmaceutical boards under pressure from the FDA, from the AMA, saying, I think you doctors are prescribing this for people. Don't do that. Unless you've got a malaria patient, you can't do that. You got to show us that you got a malaria patient. Don't you stockpile this stuff. Why are people stockpiling? Well, it's because you're shutting the economy down. I mean, we've seen a shortage of toilet paper. Now we're starting to see a shortage of basic foodstuffs. Eggs are now the next thing that people are talking about. Oh, we're running out of eggs or so forth. This is what happens when you shut the economy down. This is why I say this is not a choice. Like Dan Patrick, Lieutenant Governor of Texas, went on with Tucker Carlson and said, look, I'm 73 years old, or I'm 60, whatever he is. And you got Britt Hume, I think, is the one who's 73. And he responded to it as well. And both Britt Hume and Dan Patrick are saying, look, we're old. I'll lay down my life for the economy. It's like, just shut up. If you don't know how to communicate, get off the air. As I said at the top of the hour, this is not about the economy. It's about making sure you don't have shortages of basic things. I'm not talking about toilet paper. I'm talking about food. I'm talking about medicine. I'm talking about medical supplies. And you've got to understand, the government is the biggest obstacle in all this. Shutting down production arbitrarily and then standing in front of these medical providers when it comes to ventilators, when it comes to treatments, stop that. Stop that. Even tests. I'm going to tell you today how the FDA is shutting down tests. I was just in Houston this last weekend, and I heard on the radio the Houston Department of Public Health bragging about the fact that they had tested 250 people a day. Yeah, we've gotten our testing up. We can test 250 people a day. I thought, what are they talking about? I mean, we've got 2.3 million people in Houston. So how many days, how many years is it going to take them to test everybody, right? I've got it here somewhere. We'll get to it later. I think it was something like 25 years. I worked out the math. So good job. Good job. So they've got the ability at the Houston Department of Health to test 250 people a day in a city of 2.3 million. And you've got companies who have 250,000, one company, 250,000 test kits. And the FDA said, well, those are home test kits. Destroy them. Destroy them. Just like the ventilators for home. Destroy that. You're not going to be allowed to do that. But when it comes to vaccines, they're going to accelerate that. And as I said at the top of the hour, the metaphor for all of this is the irrational suicide of this Italian nurse simply because she came down with a coronavirus. She said she was afraid she would infect others. And we are committing suicide as a society because we're afraid that we will pass the coronavirus on to other people, regardless of whether or not it can be treated. We're not going to let people be treated. We're just going to commit suicide. 34-year-old Italian nurse took her own life after testing positive for the illness. So she didn't even have symptoms, right? This is not euthanasia. It wasn't like she was suffering. A lot of people who get this are suffering terribly. Terribly. She wasn't even suffering. She just tested positive. I mean, as a nurse, wouldn't you question whether or not maybe you got a false positive before you take your life? See, I think there's a lot more to that than just the test. She was under a great deal of stress and depression. Remember President Trump said a lot of people are going to be dying of depression, not the economic kind, the mental kind. And we've got our suicidal population being scared off the cliff like lemmings. Yeah, we're running off the cliff like lemmings. Follow the leader, except the leader's not going to run off the cliff. And of course, if you remember that Disney film that popularized that meme for our generation when we were kids, the reality is that the lemmings were not running off of the cliff. I don't think they really do that. They were being chased off by the people filming the filming the movie, just like we were being chased off the cliff by the government bureaucrats, by the Democrats, by the media, and by many Republicans as well. The condition and the stress to which our professionals are subjected is under the eyes of all, one of them said. A similar episode happened a week ago in Venice with the same underlying reasons. So see there, it's not just one nurse. It's more than one. The stress of working around the clock. The stress and the psychological distress of worrying about all this stuff. She wasn't sick enough to do that. You know, we hear all the stuff about flattening the curve. You got to practice social distancing. We're going to have quarantine shaming of people who do not quarantine themselves. I mean, this is total propaganda, folks, from the government media. And when we talk about propaganda, Daily Caller's got an interesting article about how the Daily Mail has been infected with Chinese propaganda. Recently published multiple stories about the coronavirus pandemic based on information from the Communist Party of China's official newspaper and other propaganda outlets. They pushed the Communist Party's line that the new cases of coronavirus that have appeared in China came from travelers overseas. A Daily Caller News Foundation investigation found the Daily Mail struck a content-sharing partnership in 2015 with the People's Daily. Folks, it's not just Chinese government propaganda. You're being fed National Institute of Health propaganda. You're being fed CDC propaganda by American media all the time. All the time. And CIA propaganda. Let's not forget Operation Mockingbird. That's always still in effect. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Okay. All right, we got Tower Power there with Squib Cakes. We've got to get Tower Power soul vaccination in the mix here, guys. Yeah, that's where we are right now. Roll up your sleeve. Everybody get in line. It's soul vaccination time. The soul-destroying vaccination. Anyway, when we look at the propaganda, which is where we left off, we have Daily Mail being exposed by Daily Caller. On Monday, Daily Mail published a story with a headline, Beijing's leading doctor warns of a new coronavirus outbreak in China after the country reported its first case of someone catching the illness from a person returning abroad. See, it's not the Chinese. It's us. We're the problem. The story, which had a massive 1.1 million shares on social media. See, they're not gonna shut down Daily Mail, even when they parrot Chinese propaganda written by the Chinese government itself. That's right. One of China's top coronavirus experts has warned that the nation is facing a second outbreak due to the increasing number of infections detected among new arrivals from abroad, said a top Chinese government doctor who gave to the People's Daily and China News, both of them government-controlled outlets. Both of them were the source of this story at the Daily Mail. As a matter of fact, the U.S. Department of Justice requires the People's Daily to register as a foreign agent of China. The political activities carried out by the registrant for the principal involved in the dissemination of political propaganda, reads the company's most recent filing. And the Daily Mail editorial director, Martin Clark, told The Guardian in 2016 that they had an arrangement with the People's Daily, this registered propaganda organization of the Chinese government. They register the Department of Justice to put out propaganda. We take about 40 stories a week from the People's Daily, and they can take a similar number from us, and there's no cash involved. It's just the exchange of information. The latest Daily Mail stories do not include a banner identifying the content as originating from the People's Daily. It's not clear if the copy swap agreement is still in place, but not all of Daily Mail's coronavirus coverage has put the Chinese government in a positive light. And sometimes they have stories that note that the source is coming from the People's Daily and China News, and that they are the Chinese government. So when we look at this and we look at the patterns that are happening, we're going to be taking a look at the lockdown of the economy. We'll be taking a look at the phony stimulus. Maybe we shouldn't call it the Pelosi pork sausage that's coming out here. Maybe we ought to call it the federal fentanyl bill. This is a stimulus that is going to have us addicted to government, folks. This is what this. We have a $4 trillion expenditure by the federal government every year. And this is going to be $5, $6 trillion, depending on who you talk to, because nobody knows. I mean, when you have a variation of, well, I don't know, it could be five, it could be six, who knows, right? Are you kidding me? When $1 trillion becomes a round-off error, government is out of control. Yeah, that's all, folks. Pelosi's porky pig stimulus sausage. We'll look in and see what is in it. It was Bismarck, the chancellor of Germany, who says you don't want to see laws being made, just like you don't want to see sausage being made. Well, you may not want to know what's in this pork package here, but I'm going to tell you, like it or not, coming up later. Churches are going back to the future, says Religion News, with drive-in services just in time for the coronavirus. That's right. You can all go congregate together in your cars. Pathway Baptist Church in Kentucky. It's got a picture of them all congregated at a drive-in theater. I didn't know that there were still any drive-in theaters around. Nevertheless, at one point, senior pastor says to everybody, everybody wave to the right. No, shake hands. Don't rub elbows. Just wave. Wave to the people in the car to your right. In response, hundreds of people at the Calvert Drive-In Theater of Calvert City, Kentucky, turned to the right, waved to the people sitting in the cars next to them. There was a smattering of honks in place of applause between songs like Power in the Blood and Victory. If you love Jesus, honk your horn. They don't even need the bumper sticker. They got a guy up front telling them to do that. And prolonged blast to express appreciation for Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear. At that point, I said, wait a minute. This was the first governor, this Democrat governor of Kentucky, who singled out churches and told them to close. Nothing else but churches, right? Well, we need to practice social distancing, and I don't think you ought to have any churches open, he said. And a lot of people said, wait a minute, why did he specifically single out churches? Oh, that's right, he's a Democrat, I forgot. And so I'm not here to judge anybody as to whether or not you go to church or whether or not you try to be safe. Look, everybody needs to take their own, decide for themselves, individual responsibility. I've said that from the very beginning. I don't have any problem with anybody who wants to take extra precaution, and you ought to. You know, there's certain risk factors, age, heart conditions, autoimmune systems. You ought to take more precautions for that. There's no need to go to extra risk. So I'm not here to judge anybody that doesn't go to church or sits home, or churches that decide they're going to do it by telecommunication or even by a drive-in theater. But I would just say, if you are doing this because you've been told to by the government, you better reassess that. And you better reassess your applause for a governor who demands that type of thing. Because this is a very, very dangerous precedent. Let me tell you something. When it comes to risk, like I said, you determine yourself what risks are going to be acceptable to you or not. But I would tell these people who go to church at the drive-in theater and they're afraid to get out of their cars and talk to their brothers and sisters that the risk that you took driving to that drive-in church is greater than the risk that you're taking with the coronavirus. Statistically, a fact. And if you're going to let them shut down your churches, you're going to let them shut down your cars, you're going to let them shut down your guns, you're going to let them shut down your jobs, you're going to have them mandate that you take a vaccine because they have determined that your risk is not acceptable and you can't choose to take that risk. It's everything. I mean, we've already seen how this has been used in social media. I'm sorry, but free speech, like you hear on the David Knight Show or InfoWars, is just too risky. We can't take that risk. We were told that by the Pentagon 9 months before they shut us down. You had the Pentagon in public hearings saying we got to silence the cannons on social media. They're a little bit too divisive. They don't agree with the unified government story like Fox and CNN. So we've got to shut that down. There is no end to this if you kowtow to this. And as I said before, we've had church leaders who founded this country, whether they were Quakers or whether they were Baptists or whether they were Catholics, they were banned by their governments from assembling, and they faced a risk of imprisonment and execution by their government. And they said, I don't care. And those are the kind of people who founded America. Those are the kind of people who set up the Bill of Rights, especially the First Amendment, that we care so little about.
Liberty, it's your move. This is the David Knight Show.
All right, now we got Fox News Brit Hume coming to the rescue of Lieutenant Governor here in Texas who went on with Tucker Carlson and said, I'm willing to die for the economy. Let's go back and do some basic communication messaging here. I mean, this is about as boneheaded as something you would expect from Joe Biden. That is not what is the issue here. Fox News Brit Hume defended comments from Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, saying it's entirely reasonable that elderly Americans could be fine with dying amid the coronavirus outbreak to save the U.S. economy. The utter collapse of the country's economy, which many think will happen if this goes on much longer, is an intolerable result, said the 76-year-old primetime host. Well, here's the deal. Again, when you talk like that, what the public hears, especially the socialist-leaning millennial generation, hears, You're going to die for the stock market. I saw tweets about that. I retweeted to correct that presumption when Dan Patrick said that. That was the conclusion I saw people putting out there. And so I took one of them and said, no, that's not what this is about. And now we've got Brit Hume opening his mouth wide and inserting his foot again to say, yeah, it is about the economy. Look, the economy doesn't matter. Your independence, your liberty, your being able to get food and medicine, that matters. That's what we're talking about here. See, capitalism isn't just about getting wealthy, all right, or rich. Capitalism is about supplying the goods. A centrally planned economy doesn't supply the goods. That's why you didn't have choices in products when you had the Soviet Union being run by communists. People would wait in line. They didn't even know what they were waiting in line for. But they just knew that if there was some product being delivered, that they would be first in line. What are we waiting on? Well, I hear they're bringing in bananas today. Okay, great. Maybe it's toilet paper. And now here in the United States, we're starting to play that same game. Why? Because we're going down the road of socialism. We've actually shut things down more completely and more quickly than Venezuela did. Just like that. Because of federal bureaucrats. And so when we look at this, it's not about the economy. It's about liberty. Liberty that is violated when unelected bureaucrats can shut down the economy with press conferences that are then enacted by local officials, some of them even Republicans. As I tweeted out yesterday, I said, I didn't vote for Fauci. Nobody voted for Fauci. Shut up, Fauci. You have lied to us about one pandemic after the other. I went over some of the specific lies yesterday. I'm going to give you some more today about the things that he was pushing, the things that he was saying during the swine flu epidemic, during the Zika virus, during the Ebola pandemic that was declared by the World Health Organization. And you've got the FDA actually withholding health care from us. We know what their agenda is. We know how they continue to push vaccines while nothing else will work and while it's too risky for us to go back to work. So just listen to Fauci and keep all those lockdown orders in place. Look, here's part of what's going on here. Like I said, the risk of driving to work that I take every day. You know, anybody gets in a car and takes a drive, there's a certain risk to that. Am I willing to give up my car? You better believe I'm not. It'll take those keys out of my cold, dead hand, quote Charlton Heston. I want that independence, and I'm willing to take a risk for that. And it's not just about getting to work. It's about everything else in my life. I want that independence. I want to be able to travel without government restriction. I want to be able to travel without government surveillance. I wish the government would get serious about building an appropriate infrastructure. The only infrastructure they want to build here in most places of America, but especially here in Austin, is toll roads. And they're taking their sweet time to do that. Not that it's going to help anything. It's just that once they finish it, they'll stop backing up traffic on all the other ancillary roads. But government is simply an obstacle. They won't even maintain the roads that future past generations built for us. And they continually talk about how they're going to shut everything down. Well, I can tell you, since not too many people are driving anymore, the conditions have gotten a lot safer, a lot less stressful. It's kind of what would happen if the government did its job. But they're not interested in doing that. And we got a lot of people out there who are just chomping at the bit, waiting for this big pork barrel project. And now it's not just big corporations and local government agencies that are lining up for big handouts. Everybody is. I've said many times the problems in Washington that we have with corruption are not going to be solved by having publicly funded elections or any kind of FEC rules. The problems that we have in Washington because of corruption are because all power has devolved to Washington. And just look at people's response. When we have a coronavirus, we're told that we have a coronavirus. Why? Because of people like Fauci. And then when we're told by our federal masters that we have a coronavirus, now we are begging and demanding that the president, that the Senate, that the Congress do something about it. Government at the highest level has to do something about it. And we get very upset if they're not doing exactly what we want. We're not being allowed to take responsibility for our own lives, to make our own decisions, to decide what the risks are for ourselves and act upon that. No, it's going to be dictated to us. And now they have taken over the power of our lives so that we are now dependent on them to be able to succeed. This is what has fueled the exponential growth in election spending. You know, we have all these curves that are the end of the world, right? We had the hockey stick curve that was invented by Michael Mann. No basis, no scientific basis for it. Yeah, we're going to have an exponential increase in CO2, and that's going to cause an exponential increase in global warming. Well, we did have an increase in CO2, not exponentially, but it did not cause an exponential increase in climate. But we were told we got the hockey stick, we're all going to die. Now we got another curve, and we got to flatten that curve, because now we got a curve of a virus that's coming out there, and we must flatten that. Good job, guys, pulling those curves up. Thanks. I hadn't even clued them in that I was going to be talking about that. I guess they know where I'm going here. Maybe you do too, so maybe I don't need to cover this ground again. But folks, the thing that we should really be concerned about is the real exponential growth of government. And that's why so much money is being spent on these campaigns. Just unbelievable what is happening with each campaign. That is the real exponential curve. And because of that, why is so much money being spent on that? Because corporations have to go to Washington in order to be able to succeed. Now, Main Street and individual workers have to go begging to Washington in order to be able to eat. That's what they have done with this coronavirus shutdown. They've turned us all into supplicants and slaves. And it makes me disgusted to see this. And I know a lot of people are looking at this and say, "Oh, this is cool. I'm going to get some unemployment benefits, and I don't have to go to work. I can continue to take my job." Well, we'll see how that works out for you. I'm just reminded when I look at all of this, is it really something that you want to not have a job, just to be on a government dole? You know, it kind of reminds me of the Proverbs where it says, "A lazy man says, there's a lion in the road." Yes, I'm sure there's a lion in the street roaming around. Yeah, the lazy person is like a swinging gate, turning in his bed from side to side. And that's what this country has become. How one movie theater owner is selling curbside popcorn to pay his employees. We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll talk about the fact that Andrew Cuomo is actually starting to talk about loosening restrictions. Now, the mainstream media isn't going to tell you that he's parroting Trump's lines. They will criticize President Trump for saying it on Monday night. And they won't tell you that Cuomo said it the next day. It's simply reality, folks. We're all going to starve to death if we lay in our bed afraid of the lion or the coronavirus in the road. We'll be right back. Stay with us. As we were talking about the economy, that's all just about money, isn't it? No, it's about people's lives, it's about their liberty, and it's about whether or not you're going to eat or have any medicine or be able to get it delivered. That's what it's really about. It's not about the stock market. Stock market is about as detached from reality as the federal government is, quite frankly. Here's reality. One movie theater owner is selling curbside popcorn in order to pay his employees. This is from Variety. Mark O'Meara has endured blizzards, hurricanes, economic recessions. Even in 3 feet of snow, he's managed to keep the lights on at the University Mall and Cinema Arts, the two movie theaters he owns in Fairfax, Virginia. If you're in Fairfax, Virginia, go help this guy. He's now selling popcorn to keep his employees going because he's concerned about them. And then when this thing comes back, he's concerned about how he's going to stay in business. But he's an optimist. That's why he's an entrepreneur. That's why he's a business owner. For the first time in 29 years, he had to close his doors as the coronavirus pandemic continues to sweep through the country and his own backyard. I've told that story. I had something similar to that. We used to run a video store. We never closed through hurricanes, through snowstorms. The only thing that took us out was when everybody lost power. Once we got power back at one of the stores, we were there. But I would show up and carry the employees in the snowstorm to the store to not close it. And then the one time that happened, we had one of our six stores was still got power. So I went down there to open it up. And I got hassled by the cops demanding I shut it down, even though Walmart was open up right across the street. And I was like, people can't see me in here, but they can see Walmart. I'm not bringing anybody out. I'm not enticing anybody to come out. Anyway, he says it's horrible. All my life I've had all kinds of tragedies, but I've never had a problem missing a meal or sleeping. This has been bugging me. I've been waking up in the middle of the night. As a 67-year-old, you're supposed to get sleep, but I haven't been able to. He wasn't just distressed about having to shutter his multiplexes. He was uneasy about how his employees, most of whom were under 30, would stay afloat without a steady paycheck. All the cinemas in the U.S. were forced to close, causing an estimated 150,000 workers to be furloughed or let go entirely. Let me tell you what's going to trigger them taking their hand of oppression off of Americans. It's going to be when they have to release the unemployment figures, because they're going to pop up worse than anything you saw in the Great Depression and faster than anything in the Great Depression. I have a lot of kids working here making a living on a shoestring, and I can't pay that well. He said since he couldn't sell movie tickets, he took inspiration from a nearby McDonald's that was offering only takeout because he was worried. He said that these kids can't afford to lose more than one or two shifts a week. I don't know what to do. So late Wednesday, he started selling curbside concessions, hawking large tubs of popcorn for $3. Now, this would have been last Wednesday. On his first afternoon in business, he sold $25 worth of popcorn in 45 minutes. Now he's averaging $300 to $400 a day in concession sales. Because, you know, if you got to stay home and you're just staying home and watching Netflix, that gets pretty boring after a while. You can at least spice it up with some movie popcorn in Fairfax, Virginia. Everyone is home. Nobody has anything to do except check Facebook. We've gotten tons of likes and comments, and they're all telling people, so it's spreading. It's not just his employees who have to worry about paying the bills. There's massive uncertainty about when theaters across the country will be able to reopen. He's concerned about whether or not he will be able to stay open. He says, my landlord gets it. There are things that are going on beyond our control. We need to figure out what to do. There are policies for pandemics, but who would have thought that this one would happen? I don't have extra cash in the bank, he said, so it'll be interesting. The entire movie business, from mom-and-pop venues to larger chains like AMC, Regal, and Cinemark, are feeling pressure and could struggle if stay-at-home measures extend longer than expected. But he operates with a glass-half-full mentality and says his place as a cornerstone of the community is advantageous. All of us little people being more a part of the community, we're better suited to rally. The larger chains get more customers, but I know my audience well. So we wish him well, and his plight is one that is shared by many people in many different businesses all over the country and their employees. And one handout from the federal government isn't going to fix it. And if it does, we've got even bigger problems, because we're going to get addicted to that faster than you get addicted to fentanyl. And that's exactly what they want. Exactly what they want. Andrew Cuomo, the day after this last Monday evening, President Trump said, what I'm saying basically is that we can do two things simultaneously. We've had this incredible learning period about the virus. Okay. And he says, we've got to get back to work. Cuomo the next day held a press conference and said, don't make us choose between the two. We can do both. We must do both. You can have an economic startup strategy that is consistent with a public health strategy. He said testing recovered individuals from the coronavirus and sending them back to work was essential. I believe once we get that test, you're going to find hundreds of thousands of people who have had the coronavirus and have had it resolved. Well, I'll tell you, if you want to have that happen, you're going to have to shut down the FDA. Or they're going to shut down the country because they're shutting down tests. They don't want tests. They don't want you to get back to work. They don't want you to have safe and effective treatment. The thing that is most important to them is their power. And these bureaucrats will use their power to enhance their job, even if it means destroying yours. The real parasite that's involved here is not the virus. The real parasite is the federal bureaucracy. UPS will be developing a fleet of drones for unmanned delivery. Yes, this is what they're getting you accustomed to. Universal basic income, where your jobs are taken by computers and artificial intelligence. That's exactly what Bloomberg was talking about. I'll say it one more time. All the insults about farmers, all the insults about machinists and so forth. What he was saying was we had an industrial-based society. We had an agrarian society that was replaced by the Industrial Revolution. Those jobs, anybody could learn, he said. Now, that's not exactly true. Today, farming is very technological. It's very complex, but it's always been something where you had to be something of a master of a jack of all trades. And you worked really, really hard, much harder than Bloomberg works. And yet what he was saying when he brought those up and he slighted those workers by saying that they are not nearly as smart as he is, what he was saying was, today, people like me are involved in setting up systems that are going to replace these people. And we have to make sure that they don't come after us with guillotines. He was talking about the same things that all of the Silicon Valley neo-Marxists, all the people like Elon Musk and others are talking about. That's why Elon Musk and others were giving so much money to Andrew Yang. They wanted universal basic income popularized. And it has now become enacted into law. Just like that. All it took was the mandates from a federal health bureaucracy. No tests, no ventilators, no drugs. Lock everybody down in place until we get the vaccines. And we're going to accelerate the vaccines. That's what these people are doing. And they are accelerating the Agenda 2030 as well. All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to take a quick look at some of the pork projects that came out of Washington that's rolling its way through the approval process. And then we're going to get into the federal bureaucrats that are now locking down not the economy, but locking down your health care specifically with their obstacles. If you want to do something to maintain your health, we don't have storable food anymore because, you know, they're shutting down the economy, the distribution and manufacturing. And that is also coming to supplements and to vitamins, but we still have some available, and we have discounted them. We haven't inflated the price, even though demand is going up. We have discounts from 20% to 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com, average discount of 40% off. We have products like Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, a great way to get all the essential vitamins, minerals, and even amino acids without taking a lot of pills. You can get that 40% off. Ultra 12, our vitamin B12 formula, methylcobalamin. And that's just as effective as getting an injection, but it's a great-tasting liquid format. You can get that 40% off, or you can get the two together for 50% off. You have BodEase, which has a lot of natural supplements that are shown to help fight inflammation, as well as support your immune system. Turmeric and many other ingredients, BodEase is now 40% off. We have Turbo Force. You can get 500% of your daily vitamin C needs with Turbo Force and re-energize your life. That is now 40% off. Many products at InfoWarsStore.com to help support your health. We'll be right back.
Keep on lying. Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
All right, in this segment, let's take a quick look at what's working its way through the federal bureaucracy from an economic relief standpoint. We had Nancy Pelosi go on CNN, and they asked her about Trump's plan to reopen the economy. And Nancy Pelosi had this to say, video clip number 5.
But central to all of that is stopping the spread of the disease, of the coronavirus. It's central to that. So I don't have time to follow people's tweets. So don't expect me to comment
on
them.
Well, even beyond Twitter, the president of the United States is signaling that he could open it up. What is your opinion on that?
My opinion is that it is not scientific based. It's he's notion mongering as he does almost every day.
Yes, that's a good example of the health risks of Botox and plastic surgery right there. No, she doesn't care. She doesn't care. It's science and science, and we got to listen to Fauci. And he's told us we got to shut down the economy. We're going to shut down the economy. We're going to put you on welfare. And the only thing that's going to be running in this country are the printing presses at the Federal Reserve. Oh, and they don't have to do that anymore. We'll just do it electronically. By a vote of 96 to nothing, the Senate passed a massive $2 trillion coronavirus stimulus compromise package just before midnight last night. You can't blame Rand Paul for this. He wasn't there. He was one of, I think, Ted Cruz is maybe still self-quarantining. That's why not 100. I don't think it would have been 100. I don't think Rand Paul would have done this, quite frankly. Nobody should have. I'm very disappointed in these people for shutting us down and then putting us on welfare. The legislation passed by the Senate will use your 2019 tax return, if available, or the 2018 tax return to assess income for determining how much direct financial and aid individuals will receive. So it's going to be means tested as well. $250 billion will extend unemployment insurance to more workers. It will lengthen the duration to 39 weeks, up from the normal 26 weeks of unemployment. You'll get $600 extra a week provided for 4 months. $349 billion in loans to small businesses. Any money that is spent on rent, payroll, and utilities will become grants that do not have to be paid back. A lot of hotels will qualify as small businesses under the plan. So small businesses get about $350 billion. $25 billion will go just to airlines for workers' salaries and benefits, plus up to $25 billion more in loan guarantees and loans. So about $50 billion for airlines in total there. They're claiming that this is a victory because there are zero mentions of diversity, all the things that were being packed in there by Pelosi, all the diversity requirements and so forth. So a GOP spokesperson, Elizabeth Harrington, said, this is a victory. There are zero mentions of diversity, zero mentions of emissions, zero mentions of early voting, zero mentions of climate change. Good. There's also zero mentions of socialism and centrally planned economies, but that's in there. Nevertheless, they just don't mention it, right? But the package still contained some wins for Pelosi. Many businesses that take a government loan will be obligated to remain neutral in any union organizing effort. That's just for big businesses that have more than 500 employees. $25 million going to the House of Representatives to cover salary and expenses because, you know, those people are expensive. not just anybody can spend $6 trillion in a day. These people are masters at it. So they're highly paid for that type of ability. I mean, if you can even imagine and envision $6 trillion, you're worth your millions of dollars that you get paid. $25 million for them and $25 million for the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. That's right. They said, we are extraordinarily grateful that Congress has recognized our unique status. And one person said, well, for an opera house, you sure are tone deaf. There's some pork for you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
All right, let's talk about how the federal bureaucrats are locking down healthcare. Yes, they have locked down the country. And they're using the panic. We've got DHS warning that New York City morgues are near capacity as local hospitals construct makeshift facilities. I think we've got some B-roll of makeshift facilities that are being put in. Of course, you have the military saying, we'll put up tents for this, not just for morgues, but also for treatment. But I looked at this and I thought, has it gotten that serious? We've had about 1,000 people who have died nationwide. All these have been attributed to coronavirus. And, of course, in almost all these cases, as we've seen in reports from Italy so far, as I reported last week, we had previous Friday and then again last Wednesday, we had statistics coming out of Italy where more people have been reported to have died and caught this than in China because China is covering up numbers. But in Italy, they have reported that 99% of the people have multiple conditions. Many, the vast majority of them had three pre-existing conditions. And the average age in the first report was 80.3 years of the person who died from coronavirus. Again, most of them having three extenuating or complicating conditions in addition to coronavirus, not counting old age. And then after the first report, the second report came out, and the age dropped from 80.3 years to 79.5. That's a statistical round-off error, folks. And so when I look at 1,000 people dead nationwide, I thought, well, how many people died in New York City? Well, they said the city's death toll approaches 200. This is an article from Zero Hedge. Now, you've got Daily Mail saying it is currently 285. So let's go with that higher number right now, 285. How many people, you might ask, normally die in New York City in a given day? 158. And we're not talking about one day. We're talking collectively. For a couple of weeks here. We've had 285 people die. We have 158 people normally die in New York City. So why are they building, why do you have all these articles being written about temporary morgues? Are they not normally able to, if you've got 285 people who have died, is that it? 285. That's what they say the current death toll is. 285 people have died over a couple of weeks. And yet in New York City, you've got 158 people on average dying every day. Yeah, there's something here doesn't add up, folks. The New York City Office of Chief Medical Examiner, in this same article where they're talking about the temporary facilities and you've got the photo ops, where you see the photo ops, you got the military there. You've got New York City Office of Chief Medical Examiner. They've got that printed real big on their back. You've got the New York City OCME Special Operations and all this kind of stuff. All this, you know, it's a photo op. It's a photo op. And they said in the data that in Manhattan alone, the Office of Chief Medical Examiner, morgue, can store up to 900 bodies. So I thought, well, why are they running out of storage so quickly? The city has a morgue for each of the five boroughs, she said. So that would, let's say they're all about that size. 4,500 to 5,000 bodies they can store at any given time because, you know, they have on average about 158 bodies that they have to deal with on each day. So this is a lot of projection that hasn't come close, and we hope it doesn't come close to reality. And there's no reason that it should come close to reality if the FDA will get out of the way. We can talk about that. We're going to talk about that coming up. The state is facing an estimated 40,000 intensive care unit cases, but it only has 3,000 available beds. So I look at this and I ask, is this a fault of President Trump? Of course it is, they will say. Of course it's President Trump's fault that New York City doesn't have sufficient hospital capacity. It's not de Blasio's fault as mayor. It's not Cuomo's fault as governor. It's President Trump's fault because he's been there for 3 years. And because, you know, it's supposed to be the duty of the federal government to build hospital beds in every community, especially the biggest city. Well, maybe it's not the biggest city. Maybe LA is. Nevertheless, where does this come from? You know, when I was in the Libertarian Party, we had a guy who was running for office. He's a doctor. He was totally fed up with the government. I learned a lot of things from him. One of the things that I learned from him was something that you probably have never heard of. It's called Certificate of Need. Most communities have the hospitals being run by the county hospitals. There are private hospitals, but the vast majority of hospitals are operated by the local governments. Now, if you want to open a hospital, a private hospital, you have to get a certificate of need. You have to go to the local county government and say, I would like to open up a hospital. I'd like to add more hospital beds. Everybody's whining now about hospital beds. Well, how do we get into this situation where there's no hospital beds? Well, you're not allowed to take that risk, that financial risk. You're not allowed to say, well, I'm just going to go out here and build a hospital. I've got some investors. They think that there's demand for this. They think that maybe we can do a better job than the county hospital. They think maybe we could do we could provide these services more efficiently, more cheaply. Whatever our market, are we going to do a better job or are we going to do a cheaper job or whatever than the county? Well, whatever your market analysis is going to be, you're got to go to your competitor, the county, and you got to ask them for permission. And the county will look at that and say, I don't think we need another hospital. We're running the hospital here ourselves, and I don't think we want a competitor. It even extends down to whether or not you want to add a CAT scan machine, for example. You've got to get, if you already are a private hospital, because maybe you got grandfathered in, you know, because we had private hospitals before we had government-created hospitals. So maybe you're grandfathered in, and you want to add some new test equipment, or maybe you want to add some, maybe ventilators or something. Because, you know, ventilators are pretty expensive. Medical ventilators that are approved by the FDA cost $50,000. Now, MIT in a couple of days came up with a design that cost $100. But, you know, it doesn't have FDA approval. See how this works? It's kind of like the pharmaceutical drugs. Oh, you can't have that CBD oil. We've got some pharmaceutical products we're going to sell you. And if you sell that stuff, we will spend $50,000 a year just to lock you up. Yeah. That's the way this stuff always works. But seriously, now, you know, maybe you want to put in a $50,000 ventilator. You would have to go to the county that runs the competing county hospital, and you would say, I know you've got a ventilator at your county hospital. We would like to add one to our hospital or add another one. And they'll say, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think we would have too many ventilators and it wouldn't really work out too well for us as your competitor. Certificates of need. See, the county hospitals don't like private competition. And so when we look at this, here's another example. You've got workers at a New York City hospital where nurses wear trash bags for protection. they don't call them sanitation workers. They don't like that. This is New York City, though, that we're talking about here. And so one of the workers at New York City Hospital, where nurses wear trash bags because they can't get protective clothing, caught coronavirus and died, and they're furious about that. A shortage of safety gear at one Manhattan hospital is so dire that desperate nurses have resorted to wearing trash bags. See, this is all President Trump's fault, isn't it? Don't you agree with the mainstream media this is President Trump's fault? It's the federal government's fault. There ought to be a law against this. You know, by the way, this hospital where this is happening, Mount Sinai West, back in 2018, March of 2018, 2 years ago, the New York Times pointed out several doctors there had been charged in a fentanyl bribery and kickback scheme. I guess they weren't kicking back any of that money to buy protective clothing, right? But there they are, you know, the fentanyl opioid epidemic, always there. That's okay. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This segment, we're going to take a look at the lockdown of healthcare. As I was just talking about that hospital where they were having to scrounge around, they didn't have protective clothing, so they were using trash bags. And then one of the workers there got coronavirus and died. They're furious about it. They've gone to the press talking about it. Another nurse described, quote, issues with supplies for about a year now, during which it got to the point where we had to hide our own supplies and go to other units looking for stuff because the supply room would have nothing most of the time. This is what's going to happen to us as a society, folks, if we keep the economy shut down. basic, fundamental medical supplies, food, medicines, so forth, unavailable because of panic, because of hoarding, because of storing. I don't think I'm going to get it, so I'm going to grab this as soon as I see it and store it, whether I need it or not. And that creates the panic. That's happening now to eggs after the toilet paper thing. Yeah, so you got people in this hospital who are scrounging around like James Garner in The Great Escape. Hey, buddy, can I trade you a pack of cigarettes for an N95 mask? My Pillow CEO is now going to make face masks for hospitals during the coronavirus pandemic. Well, good for him. See, it's not rocket science to make a face mask, is it? But even though anybody can do it, not just anybody is going to be allowed to get these things, put these things in a hospital, right? Can't do that. Because you got to have the FDA approval for any of that. As I reported a couple of days ago, a person who anonymously talked to the press because they were afraid of recriminations from the FDA said, yeah, we've got like 500,000 of these masks and other things that are locked up on the loading dock. We can't even touch the larger containers to get the smaller boxes out, let alone open the other boxes until an FDA inspector shows up, and they're just too busy to come. So they're sitting on the loading docks just like all the supplies we sent to Puerto Rico. Remember when they were bellyaching about President Trump and the supplies that had been sent? Eventually you saw the massive storage of all on the loading dock, and they couldn't be bothered to distribute it because you had to have the Puerto Rican government distribute it. Well, here in America, you've got the FDA has put itself in a position of importance. They believe that their bureaucratic red tape is more important than the lives of people in this pandemic that they say is severe enough that they have to shut down the entire economy. Do you see a problem with that whole narrative there? I do. This thing stinks to the high heavens, and you're going to need a mask to get through the stench of all of this. So we've got shortages of masks. We've got shortages of ventilators. We've got shortages of test kits. We have prohibitions on using a promising treatment that's been around for 76 years, been in use for other things. But no. This is an off-label use. We're not going to approve it for that use, just like we won't approve any modifications to the ventilators because we're the FDA. You must bow before our power. Well, where is your power in the Constitution? The Ninth Amendment says that if you haven't been given it explicitly, you don't have it. Tenth Amendment says, and if you haven't been given that power is retained by the people and the states. So where is the authority for the FDA? We have health inspectors. We have hospital inspectors at the state and local level. Maybe we got too many of them, you know, like I said about the certificate of need thing. Nevertheless, we don't need another level of people shutting things down, as the only thing that they will accelerate are the vaccines. That's their real agenda. So let's take a look first at the test kits. China just sent 150,000 test kits to Prague in the Czech Republic. 80% of them, they found, did not work. This is an article from Zero Hedge. China has claimed to have made donations of ventilators and testing kits to countries like Iran and Italy over the last week, trying to play good cop now. It's a PR ploy, right? Just like they've got the Daily Mail republishing Chinese government propaganda and the Chinese papers that are registered as propaganda agents with the Department of Justice here in the United States. They're writing articles talking about how it's foreigners who are getting the Chinese reinfected with coronavirus. It's all a PR ploy right now. And so part of this PR ploy is to send out a bunch of testing kits and sending them to places like, you know, Italy, where, as we pointed out, right there in that area where it began in northern Italy, there were a lot of garment and textile and leather factories that were taken over by the Chinese, and they have a lot of traffic going back and forth between Wuhan and that part of Italy. I don't know if that's the issue or not, but interesting coincidence. China sent 150,000 testing kits to Prague, and they have returned false results up to 80% of the time. In other words, they don't work. And they said at the hospital there, they said, unfortunately, the error rate was quite high. We tested those who searched for a sampling site. Fortunately, we were so far-sighted that samples were immediately taken for classic examination, and that proved the error rate of the tests, 80%. So I ask you, You know, when the government is setting up all these, making a big show about the fact that you should freak out. We got to keep you locked down for many more months, maybe, you know, several weeks, maybe many months, maybe years. They've talked about all that. It's been put out by various government officials. You should panic because we have photo ops of people going into temporary morgues. We have drive-up testing. And when they did that, they had to shut it down because they couldn't handle all the people who were showing up. Except, do they know if those tests work or not? Has anybody tested the tests? We've talked about this many times. Who tests the tests? Who watches the watchers? Who run the police state? We have Pentagon virus tests are very scarce. Sick troops are told just to self-isolate. Even the Pentagon, the center of the Defense Department, doesn't have enough tests. They said the Pentagon's DiLorenzo Medical Clinic is, quote, only conducting tests for first responders and medical personnel. Anybody else who was concerned about that, go home. Self-isolate. Trump managed to get coronavirus test kits at the last minute, however, without invoking martial law, says FEMA. At the last minute, we were able to procure the test kits from the private market without evoking the DPA, the Defense Production Act, said a spokeswoman for FEMA. The administrator there, Peter Gaynor, told CNN that they plan to use the DPA for the first time to obtain about 60,000 coronavirus test kits. There's some test kits that we need to get our hands on. And they said they have mask contracts for 500 million masks. But here's the reality, folks. In spite of all the talk, 60,000, we found them just like that. We got to have 500,000 of these. The FDA, as Reason Magazine points out, tells companies that had produced at-home diagnostics to stop the test rollouts. The companies are complying. The customers will not get their results. Even if they got these test kits, even if they ran them through and sent the kit back to the company to be evaluated, now they're going to destroy their test kit. This reminds me of what's going on because of the FDA with stem cells. Oh, yeah, you're using your own stem cells? No, we're not going to authorize that. And if you had stored your stem cells to be used later on, we're going to have those destroyed. That's your FDA protecting your health. No, they're not protecting your health. All these people like AOC and others who are screaming about crony capitalism and big corporations, why don't you pay attention to your own government bureaucrats? We'll be right back, and we'll pay a lot of attention to that when we come back. Stay with us.
Using free speech to free minds. This is the David Knight Show.
All right, let's talk about what's going on with the FDA testing prohibitions, and then we'll talk about what's going on with the FDA getting in the way of very fast reaction and innovation and manufacturing ability in the private market to address the shortage of ventilators. All you got the politicians doing is blaming each other. You got Cuomo screaming, and they gave us 400 ventilators. Great, we need 30,000. Well, then call up the FDA and tell them to call off their dogs, and you'll have your 30,000 ventilators in no time from the private sector, Cuomo. So this is what always happens when these people look to the government to centrally plan and provide for our lives. They can't do it. They can't do it. These people never get anything done. But they're going to tell you that they're saved everybody, right? This will be taken care of. But let's take a look at this Reason Magazine article. FDA tells at-home diagnostics companies to stop the coronavirus test rollout. And the companies are doing that. And they're destroying any test kits and results that have been sent into them. Four different diagnostic companies were planning to ship at-home tests for the coronavirus infections to their customers this week. And understand how vital this is to any kind of rational response. As I pointed out yesterday, Dr. Shiva Iyadure said, here's what we need to do. We need to be able to break people into four different groups. We need to look at people who have tested positive for coronavirus, and we need to do one thing to them. We put them in isolation, and we have a certain protocol for them. Give them things that are going to help their body, their immune system, to build up so they can fight this thing before it gets bad. We have another group that has it, and they already have advanced into a very difficult situation. And so we need to be able to address that with ventilators and things like that. We have two other groups, people who have not tested positive for this, and you can look at them as normally healthy people. So here's what they should do to help them build up their immune system to resist any coronavirus exposure. And then you have people who have compromised immune systems. Maybe they have an autoimmune disease, or maybe they are currently taking cancer therapy or anything else like that. And so we'll put them in a different kind of a situation. So we break people into four groups, two that are still not hit with coronavirus and two who are. And the people who are not hit with it, you know, healthy immune systems, those who have other issues, not just immune system, but maybe they've got some of the other risk factors. Age, heart disease, high blood pressure, that type of thing. And we treat this differently. For the people who have been exposed to it, are you currently having difficult problems? Okay, no, then we'll put you over here. If you are, then we need to be able to have these facilities to do this. But all of this depends on what? On testing. That is the baseline of how we separate people rationally into these groups and how we get society back to where we can produce food and medicine. Not just, make money. It's not about that, millennials. It's not just about making money. It's about actually producing the things that we need to live. So how does the FDA handle this? Well, you got four different diagnostic companies working to produce at-home tests. And they were going to roll them out this week. They did it pretty quickly, didn't they? Oh, we got a problem. We don't have enough tests because the even though this thing was rolling for months, the CDC and the FDA did nothing to prepare for this. It's not President Trump. It's these bureaucrats who have been there 30, 40, 50 years, some of them. Well, maybe not 50 years. Fauci's 79. He's been there. Well, he's been there since 68. He's been head of that. Probably 50 years. He's been head of the infectious diseases thing since 1985. He's been head of that for 35 years. Done a great job there, Fauci. You saved us from the swine flu, the bird flu, the Zika virus, the Ebola virus, and you didn't shut down the economy. Why are you doing that now? Actually, none of those happened, did they? But the economy shutting down, that is a big issue. Nevertheless, instead, they're having to pause their rollouts in order to avoid the displeasure of the FDA bureaucrats. In fact, companies are destroying samples that were sent back from customers rather than testing them in order to kowtow to the FDA and their demands. The companies had launched their tests based on their interpretation of the latest FDA emergency use authorization. So the FDA puts out, well, you know, we got an emergency here. We don't have any tests because we did nothing over a three-month period to produce any tests, and the few that we did were faulty. We don't know what we're doing. Well, okay, we're going to have an emergency guidance here. We're going to loosen up the chains on the medical community just a little bit. So these people are like, oh, we got an opportunity. Let's build this. And in a short period of time, they get these things done. And then you have the lawyers and the bureaucrats come in. No, you didn't read that edict from your masters correctly. It says that any lab that had been certified under appropriate quality control standards could start performing coronavirus tests. And they were all using labs that had been certified under quality control standards to perform the coronavirus tests. For example, to comply with the FDA's testing guidance, California-based Carbon Health sent out a notice to its coronavirus at-home test customers stating, quote, "We sincerely regret to inform you that you will not get a test result. If you've already shipped your kit back, the specimen will be destroyed using standard biohazard disposal." Oh, I'm so glad that you're going to do this in a green way. You're going to destroy my test results. But we'll do it in a very safe biohazardous, in accordance with FDA regulations, I'm sure. If you have not received your test, your kit yet, please discard it as soon as you receive it. I mean, you might as well, because they're not going to evaluate it for you, right? If you send it back to them, they'll just destroy it anyway. Austin-based Everlywell was ramped up to handle 250,000 of its at-home coronavirus tests per week, per week. As I pointed out earlier in the program, I was in Houston this week, and you had the government public health official get on the radio and say, oh, we really stepped up our testing here, patting herself on the back. She said, we are able now to test up to 250 people a day. a day in Houston, a city of 2.3 million. And you do the math, that means that they could test everybody in Houston in 25 years at that rate. Good job, government. And so here's a company, one company out of four. They were ramping up so that they could send out 250,000 of these things per week, and have them tested at a government-approved laboratory. And as Reason points out, there is no fraud here. These tests work, and they're being done at labs that were authorized by them. And evidence that it works is the fact that the FDA will allow these test kits to be used by healthcare providers. They're just not going to let you do it in your own home. So they know the test kits work. They just won't let people do it at home. Since the FDA's emergency use authorization does not now stop private labs from developing and deploying coronavirus tests for clinical use, this company here in Austin has pivoted to making its initial supply of COVID-19 tests available to hospital and healthcare providers as a way to get around the FDA's regulatory roadblock, and Carbon Health is doing the same thing. They're providing it at walk-in clinics. So here's how they get in the way of actually doing a test. As they point out, another headline, most politicians are disingenuous opportunists. The coronavirus outbreak only makes that point more obvious. And it's not just the politicians who are using this for their advantage, people like Pelosi and many Republicans as well. But it's also the FDA and the CDC. As an economist with George Mason University said, the failures of the FDA and CDC are historic proportions. And what they have done is they have failed in their area in historic proportions. They have created an economic depression of historic proportions. And folks, this is about more than the stock market. You might want to go back and, you know, the depression was about, the Great Depression was about a lot more than the 1929 stock market crash. It was about what happened for more than a decade after that. And it didn't stop until there was a worldwide war. None of the government actions were, once you push Humpty Dumpty off the wall, all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put Humpty Dumpty together again. We'll be right back. More the old hidey-ho. We've got the government agencies who, no matter how badly they fail, the answer is always, you need more. You need us more. You need more of us. You need to give us more money. You need to give us more power and authority over your lives. See, if you'd just given us more people, more money, more authority and power, this wouldn't have happened. So let's give me, increase my little empire right now. Going back to the respirators now, we've talked about the tests. Let's talk about the respirators. MRC TV is talking about what I talked about yesterday, which is the FDA graciously relaxing some restrictions on respirators. This is their press release. They said, we're granting permission to modify the designs a little bit here. You know, we got, as I pointed out yesterday, don't you change anything about that approved design. You change the materials that you use. You change the hardware, the software, anything about it. You even use it in a different area. You know, we have ventilators, that are authorized for use in a hospital. We have ventilators that are authorized for use in an ambulance and those who are authorized for use at home. And don't you mix those together to help anybody breathe. And just think about this for a second. Let's say, you know, certainly we want to have reliable respirators, don't we? What happens if the respirator breaks? Are you any worse off than if the FDA kept you from getting a respirator in the first place? No. But they have, this is a quote from their press release that the FDA put out, congratulating themselves on how liberal they have become. Liberal in the sense that they are liberating you to have a little bit more leeway to move around to make respirators. The agency's intention is to exercise enforcement discretion for certain modifications. Normally, these modifications would trigger an FDA pre-market review, which can delay the time it takes to get these devices to the bedside, to say the least. Not only delay it, but make it incredibly expensive. We'll talk about that in just a second here. MRC TV points out, how nice of them, the hidden cost generated by the very existence of the FDA and the spheres of manufacture over which it claims to have regulatory power are so astronomical that economist and economic historian Robert Higgs edited an entire book about the problem and has written extensive articles about it. Let's not even mention, and they don't, because this is a Republican conservative article, a website that's out there. So they don't even talk about the Constitution. Let's just pretend that the Constitution doesn't exist. Because, you know, the Ninth Amendment says, by the way, if we haven't specifically given you anything, don't assume you have the power to regulate our ventilators or our drugs or our food or anything else, because you don't have that power in the Constitution. And if you don't have it, we're reserving it, says the Tenth Amendment, at the state level and by the people. So there's no authority for the FDA or the DEA or the CDC or the NIH or any of these organizations to even exist. They probably knew that they would do something like this to us, is why they put that in there. No, they were very concerned about the centralization of power and how power would be abused. Because it always happens as people accrue more of it. Again, going back to the FDA's pontifications here, the FDA fails its own criterion safety effectiveness, pointed out one analyst, for public health. They generate far more harm than benefit. Many studies by economists have confirmed that huge expense and many years of delay associated with the agency's product approval process discourages pharmaceutical research and development, to say the least. Because as I pointed out, I haven't voted for Fauci or for Francis Collins, and yet these people wind up ruling over my life. They are the ones who are used by Pelosi and these other politicians, whether they're federal, state, or local, to shut us down. And unless Fauci agrees, they're going to keep you shut down. So I didn't vote for this guy. Nobody voted for this guy. You can't vote him out. You can't recall him. You have absolutely no say-so over these bureaucracies. We have taxation without representation, because they increase to a ridiculous extreme the cost of all these medical devices. You have regulation, not just taxation, but regulation without representation, where they say, sorry, you can't have those testing kits when we desperately need testing kits. This is planned disorder, folks. And we've seen them do this, even, as I pointed out many times, I'll point it out again, even extending, under President Trump, the FDA saying, we've never regulated things called biologics, things that are taken out of your body. But we're going to say that you can't use your own stem cells. You can't take your own stem cells out, put them in a centrifuge, have somebody do it for you. Put them in a centrifuge to concentrate them and then re-inject them into your body to repair your body. Can't do that, the FDA says. Who the hell are you to say what I can do with my body? Where are all the pro-choice people? My life, my body, my choice. No. The guidance also helps manufacturers ramp up their manufacturing by adding production lines or in alternative sites, says the FDA. Well, that's really nice of them. And second, they said, as outlined in this guidance, hospitals and healthcare professionals may use ventilators intended for other environments. See, there you go. Now you may use it for other environments. For example, hospitals that could repurpose ventilators normally used for transporting patients in an ambulance, we're going to graciously allow you to use it in your intensive care unit. Well, isn't that nice? Thanks, FDA. You're a big help. The FDA also provides recommendations for other alternatives that should be considered, like repurposing sleep apnea devices, the continuous positive array, the CPAP devices. And then I do like what MRC TV says. It would be Stockholm Syndrome to thank the FDA for stepping ever so slightly aside and beneficently blessing us with a little bit more freedom than we're supposed to have in the first place, right? The idea that desperate medical workers and sick people might have to wait and check with a Food and Drug Administrator, as they are, before repurposing something in an immediate life or death situation is Kafkaesque. It's like something Terry Gilliam might have put in 12 Monkeys. Actually, it's more like what he put in Brazil. This lightening of the load doesn't offer any kind of permanence or assurance that the FDA will not increase the load. Take the debate over Plaquenil, and we'll talk about that coming up, the hydroxychloroquine. That's coming up, but I don't want to leave the ventilation stuff just yet. Ford, for example, this is reported by Road and Track, not an FDA publication approved by the FDA. They say how Ford is using seat ventilation fans to build thousands of respirators. What they did was they took the seat ventilators that they use to cool your seat, you know, if you have in F-150s, the pickup trucks, most popular vehicle sold right now. And they said, well, you know, we have a, we got a blower motor in those things. Maybe we could use that to help people breathe if the FDA will let us. And so they looked at the motor and they said, well, you know, unlike an air conditioning compressor, which is going to be too powerful, too big, too heavy, these motors that we use to ventilate the seats are really pretty kind of are kind of small. And because they're small, they don't use a lot of power, and they can run off of a battery. They, you know, are set up to operate off a 12-volt battery. And they can generate between 14 and 19 cubic feet per minute of air. And these $50,000 ventilators that are sold by 3M produce between 6.7 and 7.8 cubic feet per minute of air. So it's not a problem. You can just reduce the amount of air. You can turn the fan down, or you can basically exhaust it, whatever. I mean, just put a speed adjustment on it so it doesn't produce it. It's got more than it needs. And if you do that, if you run it at half speed, then that means you're going to get the battery life to go up, and you can have that battery life last for 10 hours. Will the FDA allow that to happen? I don't know. And then even more, we have MIT researchers that published a design for ventilators that costs only $100 instead of $50,000. Will the FDA allow that to be done? I don't know either. We'll have more details about that when we come back. Before we go to break, I just want to remind you about the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. So you still can make some decisions about your health, and you should make those decisions to do everything that you can to make sure you are in the category where you have the best nutrition to support your immune system. And that's regardless of which of those four categories that Dr. Shiva Iyadure was talking about. You know, whether you have the coronavirus and no major symptoms, or whether even, you know, if you're in the bad category, you're going to be in the hospital. But any of those other three categories, you know, if you are healthy, you want to stay healthy. If you've got some other issues, other risk factors, you want to try to improve that. And if you, even if you've tested positive for coronavirus and you don't have any symptoms, you want to try to provide your body sufficient nutrition. So at InfoWarsStore.com, we've got a lot of products still in stock. 20 to 50% off. The average is 40% off. We've got things like DNA Force Plus, Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, Ultra 12, our Vitamin B12, Turbo Force, Bod Ease, anti-inflammatory, and support your immune system with things like turmeric. Take advantage of this. Take advantage of the discounts while we still have stock at InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be right back.
With the power of the First Amendment, it's the David Knight Show.
Mission impossible. We need to build ventilators. What is a ventilator? Well, basically, you're taking contaminated air. You've got a pump that is going to suck in contaminated air. It's going to pass it through a filter. It's going to deliver it to you when you've got a sealed mass that's going to keep the contaminants out there. So you need a blower. You know, it's going to blow air through a filter into a sealed mask. Mission impossible. Will we be allowed to do this? We're going to have to sneak this past the FDA. So you got all these automobile manufacturers. They're not allowed to work because we have Fauci. In other words, it's just too dangerous for you to go to work. You can't do that. Are they going to be allowed to create these simple respirators? This is not rocket science. It's not. As a matter of fact, they are very well adapted to do this, as I pointed out, repurposing the seat ventilators off of F-150 trucks that they can't build now. And it's pretty close to the kind of airflow that they need for these things. The tone it down about by half. They'll be able to operate it off of battery. It's very small, very compact, very lightweight. And then MIT researchers have a design that will only cost $100. What they did at MIT, a project called the MIT Emergency Ventilator Project, they say that it works with mass-produced bag valve masks that are used in ambulances to help patients breathe. So what they have in ambulances is they have this sealed mask to keep the contaminants out, and they manually pump the air instead of having the pump from an F-150 seat ventilator. And so what they're saying is we can work with this. So they've got a lot of designs. They said the motorized device automatically compresses widely available bag valve masks, the sort of manual resuscitator used by ambulance crews to assist patients with breathing problems. The designs could arrive as a growing number of engineers, medical students, hobbyists attempt to build or share specifications for makeshift respirators. And the FDA tries to shut it all down. Why? To protect the companies that are selling the FDA-approved ventilators that cost, on average, $50,000. We don't want you putting out these $100 things. I mean, this is the same argument that we've had with drugs forever with the FDA. It's one of the reasons why we have marijuana prohibition. You know, the whole drug prohibition thing was much larger than marijuana, but marijuana was competing very effectively with a lot of different industries. Pharmaceutical industries, textile industries, paper industries, a lot of different things. And so that had to be shut down. And this is why you have institutions like the FDA and the DEA, is to protect these industries. Why is it that the liberals can't see this? Why is it conservatives can't see this? So when we look at what's going on, will it be allowed? They said, you know, we understand that the FDA is concerned about unknown quality and safety. But like I pointed out before, look, if this thing fails, are you any worse off than if you didn't have anything to help you breathe and you need to have help to breathe? No, you're not any worse off. You haven't harmed anybody. You haven't harmed anybody. Nevertheless, MIT EVENT Project, they call it, emergency ventilator, was established 10 years ago to help people in poor countries and third world countries. And now we've been turned into a third world country by our mandates from government at every level. They said, well, you know, now we need it in the U.S. during a pandemic. And they hope by keeping it open source, they're not looking to make any money off of this. It's just a design. You know, hey, we can take a simple, you know, we've got tons of these mass-produced manual breathing bags, and all we have to do is hook them up to a motor. Could that be done? I don't know. But they will always blame President Trump. As a matter of fact, The Onion is celebrating, has a picture of President Trump celebrating the new hospital opening with an oxygen tube cutting ceremony. Yeah, it's always President Trump's fault. No, the people who are cutting your breathing tube, that's the permanently entrenched bureaucracy, the FDA. They're the ones who are cutting your breathing tubes. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
All right, so as President Trump says, we got to get the economy back open. And as I said, the only thing I would fault him for is having followed the advice of Fauci and these failed bureaucrats in the first place, and for feeling too much public pressure and saying we're going to wait until Easter. Things are getting really desperate. As a matter of fact, you know, Easter, will you have any Easter eggs? Of course not. Even if they let you out of your hobbit holes, we're now getting an egg shortage because of panics. And, you know, all somebody has to do is suggest, you know, I think there is a shortage of gummy bears. And all of a sudden, boom, all the gummy bears are gone. This is what happens when you shut down manufacturing. When you turn over everything to the government and you believe everything that the government propaganda outlets tell you. I mean, the Daily Caller is exposing China, and it's being able to propagate propaganda through the Daily Mail. But let me tell you, that is nothing compared to the federal bureaucrats and their propaganda that's being channeled through all of the mainstream media outlets. That's why they were so intent on shutting down InfoWars and independent media, because that's the only place you're going to get any truth about what's going on. You're not going to get it from the corporate media. The corporate media, for the most part, is funded by the big pharmaceutical companies. They're all part of this scam to push vaccines, to push expensive, toxic prescription drugs. So we got Fauci out here saying Trump's goal to reopen the U.S. economy by Easter. Well, he needs to be a little bit flexible on that. I'll have something to say about that. What can I do? He's an idiot. He doesn't understand anything. I'm the one who will make the pronouncements about science to you. And no matter how absurd the things that I tell you, no matter how inconsistent with the past actions of this department, when we have declared time and time again that we have global pandemics, we've never reacted this way, and they've never done anything to help anybody, but they've never done anything to panic everyone like they have this time. So no matter any of that, we will be the ones to tell you what to do. Now, there was an interesting press conference where President Trump and Dr. Anthony Fauci, he did have, I don't know who this guy works for. Is that in the clip, who this guy works for, the guy who asked the question? They have a press conference, and there's a young reporter, and Real Clear Politics. Okay, kudos to this this guy who is with Real Clear Politics. There we go. Yeah, here it is. Philip Wegman, Real Clear Politics. Good question, Philip. Let's play the question that he asked about whether or not the WHO can be trusted, not the group, the bureaucracy. Tommy, can you hear me? Let's go to this press clip, video clip number four.
Earlier today, Senator Marco Rubio told RCP that, quote, the World Health Organization showed favoritism to China, unquote. And then Representative Michael McCaul, the ranking member on the House Foreign Relations Committee, he questioned the integrity of the World Health Organization's director, saying, quote, that there were several red flags in his past with respect to his relationship with China. Do you agree? Do you think the World Health Organization showed favoritism? And then once all the dust settles, do you think that the United States should re-explore its relationship with the World Health Organization?
Well, I think there is a lot of, certainly a lot of talk that has been very unfair. I think that a lot of people feel that it's been very unfair. It's been very, very much sided with China. And a lot of people are not happy about it. At the same time, Dr. Fauci and myself and other people, there are people on there that we like and we know. A lot of
we say we trust Fauci. A lot of good people, a lot of good professionals.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to hear if you'd like to talk about the world WHO. But the fact is that I have heard for years that that is very much biased toward China. So I don't know. Doctor, you want me to get you into this political mess?
No, I don't want you to do that, but I will. Tedros is really an outstanding person. I've known him from the time that he was the Minister of Health of Ethiopia.
I mean, Pause that a second. As I told you yesterday, when Tedros was a health minister there at Ethiopia, he was widely criticized by many people all over the world for letting cholera epidemics get out of control twice. Nevertheless, they allowed him to go to the World Health Organization. It also happened again with cholera in other countries that he was, since he was now had worldwide responsibility for all of our health. This happened in another African area, a third outbreak of cholera that he didn't respond to properly. But back in January 14th, Tedros, the guy that they're talking about there, that Fauci vouches for. He's really good. I've known him for decades because, Fauci has been there for 35 years at the National Institute of Health's their infectious diseases bureaucracy. Oh, I've known him for decades. He's a great guy. Well, this great guy was telling everybody that January the 14th, as I reported yesterday, this Ethiopian bureaucrat who'd been elevated to world health dictator had said, China told us it's not contagious on January the 14th. China told us it's not contagious, not a problem. As a matter of fact, this WHO director, Tedros, did not declare a pandemic until after President Trump took many, many actions in terms of restricting travel and so forth. And yet, it's President Trump's fault, all these celebrities who are now sick. You know, the same one who cut off, Kathy Griffin, who cut off President Trump's head and effigy and held it up Yeah, she's now sick, and it's President Trump is going to be responsible for my death if I die. Well, this guy was saying back in, you know, the middle of January, because China said so, it's not a problem. And that's exactly what Real Clear Politics, Philip Wegman, was saying. We're getting a lot of Chinese propaganda from the World Health Organization. Just go back and look at the stories and you know, 3 months ago. It's ridiculous. No, 2 months ago. And so, you know, we look at this, but Fauci vouches for him. Did a great job. He does a great job. Let's go back to Fauci.
I mean, obviously, over the years, anyone who says that the WHO has not had problems has not been watching the WHO. But
yeah,
I think under his leadership,
over and over again,
they've done very well. He has been all over this. I was on the phone with him a few hours ago.
He's parroting China's propaganda.
No,
I'm not talking about China. You asked me about Tedros.
World Health Organization praising China for its transparency and leadership on their response to the pandemic?
You know, I can't comment on that because, I mean, that I don't have any viewpoint into it. I mean, I don't even know what your question is.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know. What's this guy talking about here? Look, okay, here's what he's saying, Fauci. He's saying not only is the World Health Organization now praising China, and he didn't even mention what I just said, about the fact that 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, the World Health Organization was feeding us Chinese propaganda saying the coronavirus is not important. Now, you're the one who's telling us we've got to shut down all of America, Fauci. So which is it? Is it not important? That was a story from you and your buddy at the World Health Organization 2.5 months ago. Or now is it so important that we got to shut down the world? Do you have another agenda going on here besides covering your bureaucratic ass? Fauci is now saying, get ready for a second round of coronavirus. And as I pointed out yesterday, when he was preening around saying, you got to give more funding to my bureaucracy, right? Because we saved you from the swine flu. You gave us only a measly $600 million. And you guys didn't pony up for the $2 billion I asked for this Zika crisis that we're in the middle of. That was in 2017, I think it was. Going from memory, that was yesterday. And nevertheless, he was telling everybody, and look, you know, the Republicans wouldn't pony up with that $2 billion. And Zika's not done yet. Zika's going to be coming back this summer. You just wait. When those mosquitoes start flying, Zika's going to be flying everywhere. And, you know, when he got his money for the swine flu thing, right, what happened with that? Well, we had Obama was out playing golf, as the headlines were saying. You know, the world's going to die from swine flu. No, the world got sick and injured from the vaccines that Fauci rushed out. And now this is what he's saying. Fauci said the U.S. needs to continue working on a vaccine so that they will be prepared to fight the virus because it's going to come back seasonally. I know that we'll be successful in putting this down now, but it's going to be coming around again and again. See, once they set up this pattern, they're going to be using it again and again, and the end result is their vaccine. Welcome back. We're just talking about Fauci saying, get ready for a second round of the coronavirus, which is the same thing he said about Zika. You know, well, okay, I told you everybody's going to die or get little heads because of the Zika pandemic that was declared by the World Health Organization. You Republicans wouldn't give me $2 billion for my bureaucracy, so you're going to pay for this. Come summer, these mosquitoes are going to be out and everybody's going to start having shrinking heads. Didn't happen, did it? But he's saying the same thing now. Get ready for a second round. We'll be successful in putting this down now, he says. Why? Well, because we've got other treatments. We've got other things that we can do. He knows that he has pushed a false pandemic here, along with the World Health Organization. You just heard him defending the indefensible pronouncements of the World Health Organization and that corrupt politician from Ethiopia that's running it right now. Oh, no. You know, this guy's great. Shut up. He's not pushing Chinese propaganda. He's just patting him on the back. 2 months after He was telling everybody, I'm not worried about the pandemic thing because, you know, the Chinese have told us that the coronavirus isn't contagious. And Fauci, who is head of the infectious diseases part of the National Institute of Health, totally buys into all that. It's because really, his purpose is to push vaccines. That's the bottom line. What he says here, says the U.S. needs to continue working on a vaccine because, you know, this is plan B. He knows he can't keep us locked down long enough for them to get a vaccine rushed through. They say, well, you know, typically we need to take about 18 months, 2 years to test these things out according to our normal protocols. And, of course, that isn't sufficient. And, of course, we've had Del Bigtree show the clips of these people meeting talking about it. You know, the World Health Organization, as others, the doctors are saying, you know, we're just not doing enough testing on these vaccines. We don't know. We don't do enough testing initially, and we don't know what the long-term effects of this are. We're not doing any of those tests. So, yeah, even 18 months to 2 years would not be enough time. But we have experience from Fauci and other people. We know how these guys operate from the swine flu. You know, when they had the swine flu, they rushed this thing to market. Going back to 2009, 4 months before that, the World Health Organization, that same stellar group that he was just defending, had declared the H1N1, the swine flu, the influenza, to be a world pandemic. Then 4 months later, in October 2009, they started rolling out new vaccines just 4 months later. A similar thing was happening all across the world, in the UK, in the US, in Canada, in France, in Germany. They all provided vaccine manufacturers indemnity from liability for wrongdoing. Now, of course, we've done that as a matter of course since 1986 here in the United States, but it was done in all these other countries because it was declared to be a pandemic. They rushed it out there, made sure they had immunity from lawsuits. And so then they start rolling this thing out 4 months after the pandemic was declared. They said, we fully support the swine flu vaccination program. The vaccine has been thoroughly tested. And you had joint statements coming out from all of the different British health organizations, from their equivalent of the AMA to their National Health Service workforce. Same thing happened here in the United States, except they don't have to come out and say the vaccines are safe because they've already given them the immunity from the 1986 Act. Anticipating a severe influenza pandemic, governments around the world made various logistical, legal arrangements to shorten the time between the recognition of a pandemic virus and the production of a vaccine. And this is what they drill all of the government health workers and the bureaucracies on an annual basis. Okay, we got a test case here. It's something that just happened organically, or it was a terrorist thing, or it was a bioterror attack from another country. Regardless, the moral of the story is always the same. You got to lock down everything. You got to do it in draconian measures, and you've got to authorize an emergency vaccine to go through. And they actually did it with the swine flu. 4 months, they've got the vaccine. Except that 8 years later, we see lawsuits coming out because so many people have been damaged by the vaccine. The swine flu wasn't a problem. The vaccines were that they rushed out to market. GlaxoSmithKline and their product Pandemrix. Pandemrix. That's what they call the vaccine, the Pandemrix. Sense of humor for these guys. Why don't you just call it false flag? You could probably come up with a variant of that. They found that it caused a lot of different things, especially narcolepsy. And as they were filing this lawsuit, they got discovery and they unearthed internal document reports suggesting that they knew the problems with this drug. They knew that it was unsafe. And in October 2009, as they're pushing it out here in the United States, it was none other than Dr. Anthony Fauci himself who went on YouTube to reassure Americans about the safety of the swine flu vaccine. He said, quote, this is Fauci in 2009 as he rushed the swine flu to the market. The track record for serious adverse events is very good. It's very, very, very rare that you ever see anything that's associated with a vaccine that is a serious event. 8 years later, they're still working through the lawsuits. And he's saying this could become a seasonal event. And the Harvard researchers who were talking about social distancing said this could be a seasonal event. We might have to turn social distancing on and off like a spigot. And I've said from the very beginning, this is all about psychological condition. This is all about boiling the frogs. It's all about taking two steps forward and one step back. And then another two steps forward, one step back. It's about ramping up that control. Here's what they say out of Harvard. Their School of Public Health suggests that multiple targeted periods of social distancing of various kinds will likely be necessary for the U.S. before a vaccine is found for the disease. See, that's always the end. This is a psychological tool to usher in martial law, to extend central authority, central planning, universal basic income, all these different socialist tactics. But the key thing is mandated vaccines. Got to keep you locked down. Well, if we can't keep the economy locked down because we'll have a revolution if they do it for months, then what we'll have to do is ease up a little bit on them. But then we'll put it back on. We'll turn it on and off like a spigot. We'll get them accustomed to that. And then eventually we'll say, well, you can't get out unless you got the vaccine. They go on. There's a tension in fighting the COVID-19. So-called herd immunity needs to be built up. A single period of social distancing will not be sufficient. Going into an intense quarantine with nothing to follow up with, if we don't have a vaccine yet, it can actually be counterproductive. Without repeated intervals of distancing, there is a resurgence of infection. The authors argue that interventions need to be made multiple times over multiple periods. They call it intermittent distancing at intervals that depend on the state of the healthcare infrastructure. Oh, see, that's what they're worried about. They're worried about the state of their bureaucracy, their health infrastructure. They're not worried about your health. That's what they're building up, is their power. I don't even have time to go into the coronavirus. We've got yet another report. I'll cover this tomorrow. Another doctor talking about how he's successfully using hydroxychloroquine with Z-Pax. But of course, you know, the FDA, the AMA, the pharmaceutical state boards, even here in Texas, are saying, no, can't have that. We're waiting for a vaccine. We're going to have to do this social distancing in an intermittent on-off, turn it on and off like a spigot until we can force you to get vaccinated. Meanwhile, we'll have all kinds of tracking apps. We won't allow tests to be out there. We'll keep everybody in a state of uncertainty. We're going to be joined by Gerald Celente when we come back from New York City.
Decoding the mainstream propaganda. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We have an Italian mayor. You may have seen this headline. Italian mayor threatens to send, quote, police with flamethrowers to graduation parties. You know, if you get together in a party for graduation, we're going to send the police in with flamethrowers. Is this over the top? Is this a joke? Well, we've just had a Louisiana man arrested, charged with terrorism, because he put up a satirical post about COVID-19 on Facebook. So I don't know. I mean, is this guy terrorizing the people by sending people with flamethrowers? We've got Gerald Celente joining us now from New York City. And again, Gerald Celente, you can find his website is trendsresearch.com, and you can find Trends Journal, a sample of that, at trendsresearch.com. Gerald Celente has always been at the forefront of this, and now it is looking like the Greater Depression that Gerald Celente has been talking about for several years now, because what the Federal Reserve is doing is now going to kick in big time. But before we get into the economics, Gerald, tell us what it's like being right there at ground zero in New York City. What are the conditions like there?
Well, we got it. Well, I'm a little north of that, up in Kingston, New York. But, we have the dictator governor over here, Andrew Cuomo. A daddy's boy, you know, born on third base and thought he hit a home run, like his brother Chris on CNN. Two little guy, the Cartoon News Network, that would be nothing if Daddy Mario wasn't the governor of New York. And when say a daddy's boy, I want to make it really clear. He renamed the Tappan Zee Bridge over here, the Andrew Cuomo Bridge, cost us taxpayers all this money to rename it. Why should we rename it for his father? I'll tell you why. Because I'm an arrogant little guy, and I'm playing dictator of New York. People don't realize this, David. You know, we do Trends in the News broadcasts, and we, as you know, the Trends Journal is a weekly magazine. So about 3 weeks ago, he slipped in some legislation that if there that gives him the full authority to have dictatorial powers over we the people. Mm-hmm. And boy, has he played that role. When you read his language, I want to close the New York City schools. We shouldn't have children going there. This is what I believe, quote, I believe, so you have to believe, period. He ends all his statements with, period. You will do what I say. And you mentioned what's going on over there in Italy. They just had this little other jerk mayor. This guy's walking along the beach. Nobody's on the beach. And the mayor comes yelling at him, get back in your house. Hey, what's the little crap mayor doing out? How come he could be out and we can't? And the same thing with this clown Cuomo. He's out there with all his little flunkies around him. And now they make up this crap line, social distancing. Hey, Gazzone, how come you don't have to be social distance? I'll tell you why, Salenti. Because I'm the dictator of New York. And I want to run for president of the United States. And watch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They've got a bunch of losers that are so epic that they're casting about. And of course, everybody, as you've seen, talking about, well, you know, Cuomo's been having these daily press conferences and he can actually speak, coherent sentence. So no, we'll put him in instead of Biden.
No, what he could actually do is masturbate in public and people buy it. That's what he could actually do. They even comparing him in the Financial Times to FDR. How about FUC, you know what?
Well, you know what? You're talking about that mayor in Italy going down the beach and, you know, coming after people that were out there. Cuomo did the same thing. He's driving around in his limousine. He said, there's people out there in Central Park. I want de Blasio to shut that down. And Gerald, de Blasio's got his staff complaining to the press because de Blasio is calling in his staff to meetings at a YMCA where everybody's walking around. Nobody's wearing masks in the YMCA. All these hoi poi out there not wearing masks. And, of course, de Blasio's not wearing it either. And all the staff are believing, some of them believe, this whole narrative about what's going on. And because they believe that, they're upset about de Blasio. I would wonder why they believe that if de Blasio doesn't believe it.
The people are swallowing this stuff hook, line, and sinker. How many people have died so far in the world? What, about 20, 30,000 out of a population of what, 7.7 billion? And again, in the latest Trends Journal, we list many of the things that people are dying of. Oh, 650,000 died of influenza last year around the world. Oh, 9 million died of air pollution last year. All the people that are dying of food poisoning, poisoned water, on and on and on. But nobody's talking about that. What do we do now? We have almost, 900 people dead in America? Oh, whatever, a population of, 330 million? Oh, here's the breaking news. A young person came down with coronavirus. And then one young kid, and now they reversed it. The kid may not have gotten coronavirus.
Oh, they reverse that. Well, I talked about this the other day, Gerald. I said, you know, you go back and you look at the CDC's numbers in terms of accidents. You know, they got it broken down by different vehicle types. So they got the number of people that died in bus accidents and truck accidents and car accidents and motorcycle accidents and three-wheel. And guess what the safest thing to ride in is? A three-wheel vehicle, because only 23 people died. It's probably all 23 people who are riding a three-wheel vehicle. But, you know, that's because these people don't normalize anything. It's like, oh, look, you know, we had 14,000 people die from passenger cars, but we only had 23 people die from a three-wheel vehicle. So that's where you should be if you agree with their kind of statistics.
Yeah, this whole thing is being the politics. Again, you go back to several Trends journals ago. The headline was prostitutes and puppet masters fueling his coronavirus hysteria. This started with the media. And again, as I said, you know, these are the same clowns that get dressed up in that, you know, hurricane drag, and it is, and they're there with the wind blowing over the boardwalk. There's a hurricane 300 miles off the coast of Miami, and with the wind blowing over. Oh, and you know
the cameraman throwing lawn chairs at them, even if the wind's not blowing it, right?
You got it. You saw that picture too. So they did the same thing, and the people look, David. This is unprecedented in world history. It's not only the United States. One country after another shut down, and we are going to see economic devastation to the levels of which we've never seen before.
I agree. Yeah, take a look at the stock market or look at unemployment figures. They've gone way beyond what happened during the Great Depression and during the 29 crash in just a short period of time. It took them years to even get close to this. And, you know, the peak, I'm sure you're aware of this, the peak unemployment that we had during the Great Depression was 25%. That was only 1 year. Most of the time, it was between about 18% and 21%. We're already past that, way past that. We're past the 25% already in just a week.
You're going to see crime, homelessness, suicides. They're going to go off the charts. All of these are the same stupid SOBs in both genders.
You caught that. Okay, good.
Sell us the wars. That sold us, that take you to war based on lies. And then they say, what's the exit strategy of this war? Hey, who the hell are you to ask me the exit strategy? All I do is start this crap. And what the results are, we don't give a damn because we're psychopaths, sociopaths, and pathological liars.
And then you got these Republicans on the other side, like Dan Patrick, and, you know, Brett Hume is defending him. We got to, you know, I'm willing to die for the economy. It's like, that's not a question about that. You're going to die because of the massive unrest that they create or because of medical shortages or food shortages. Trump is saying, well, we got to have everything back by Easter. Well, guess what? There's now a shortage on eggs. So you're not even going to have any Easter eggs or anything else to eat if you keep this thing going on for more weeks. But these guys want to have it for months. We're going to be back with right after the break. We'll talk to Gerald about what's in this package and also what is going on with the economy in general. We'll get into the economics of it when we come back. Stay with us. Gerald Celente, trendsresearch.com. China Road, that's the road we're on right now. It's China Grove, yeah, but no, we're on the China Road is where we're headed. Not the Belt and Road Initiative, but the initiative to set up tyranny. And we're going to be talking to Gerald Celente about the economy. And when we talk about the economy, let's understand we're talking about freedom, independence, having food and medicine, because you're going to lose all of those if you let these pettifogging bureaucrats like Fauci shut everything down. And, of course, you know, he understands he can't keep his lockdown forever. So we're going to have to turn this on and off like a spigot, just like social distancing will be turned on and off like a spigot until they can have their vaccines ready. That's the bottom line. Well, folks, we've got to stop this. And right now, you can still get food and medicine. We don't have storable food. They're already shutting that down. We still do have nutraceuticals, however. You know, it's an ancient maxim of physicians was let food be your medicine. And that's what we mean by nutraceuticals. If you don't help your body with natural, safe, and effective supplements, nutraceuticals, you're going to wind up on pharmaceuticals. You don't want to be that part of that farm. Get the stuff off of the other farm, the one that's not pH, that starts with an F. And so we got a lot of natural, safe, and effective products. We still have them in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. We have discounts from 20 to 50% off. The average discount right now is about 40% off. We have things like Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix. You can get all your essential vitamins and minerals and amino acids without having to take a lot of pills. And you can make it taste any way you want. You just put that in a drink mix and make the drink however you want it. And get your baseline vitamin, minerals, and amino acids. We also have our B12, Ultra 12, methylcobalamin, a very, very potent supplement. You can get either of those 40% off, or you can get them together at 50% off. We have Bodies, for example, all natural turmeric and other products to enhance the turmeric to help you in terms of fighting inflammation and to also help your immune system. That is also 40% off. So, folks, if you don't want these things taken away from you, and if you want to prepare yourself, this is a perfect opportunity. We're not scalping prices on this stuff. We are discounting it. anywhere from 20 to 50% off, average 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, let's go back to Gerald Celente. Gerald, I want to talk about the economy. And again, let's just remind people, we're not talking about the stock market. Quite frankly, I don't care that much about the stock market, except it does trickle through the economy and everything. But we're really talking about freedom, independence, your ability to have an economy that can produce food and medicine without shortages, without hoarding. All this is being taken away from us. So where do you see this going overall in the economy?
It's going to be devastating. It's economic devastation. And before I go on, you know, the products that you have out there, you know, people ask me, what can you do? I say the first thing you have to do, which you've been doing a long time, is to get in the best shape you can.
Yeah.
Physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Even though I go off the charts, you know, I'm a Napolitano. I go from end to end like that. It means nothing. But I try to stay grounded as best I can.
Yes.
And to also remind all the listeners that we are fighting for freedom. And that's why I love being on InfoWars and being a part of it, because it's all about freedom of who we want to be and what we want to believe and not have other people tell us what we should believe.
Exactly. And, or what we should take and what we can't take. You know, that's the other thing about all this.
Yeah, I wasn't put on this earth to take orders, and particularly from little lowlives. Do I follow sound advice? Of course I do. And, you know, if a doctor tells me what to do, I think about it, and knowing, you know, the kind of doctor that I go to, I respect him and follow it. But I don't need some little political clown like a de Blasio you were mentioning before. Here's this little jerk with a popularity rating of 32%, tried to run for in the presidential reality show, got nowhere, and now all of a sudden he's an expert, like this other guy, Cuomo. But anyway, moving on to the economy, gold. To me, as you well know, gold is the ultimate safe haven, and people should understand this. There's a shortage of physical gold. It's very hard to get right now in 100-ounce bars and above.
And we've seen a radical departure, haven't we, between physical gold and then buying, you know, like gold ETFs and that type of thing, paper gold, paper shares of gold, haven't we?
Yes. And people are buying paper shares of gold because, you know, you could do that for your retirement and this and that. So people are going into the ETFs. And supposedly that gold is in vaults in London, in London. But, you know, forget that. You know, that's probably a lot of baloney. But gold to me is the ultimate safe haven asset. I do not give financial advice, but you well know that in June of this last year, we predicted the gold bull run. And
yes,
you also know that you were the first person, the first show I was on, when I warned about the greatest depression, way worse than the 1930s depression.
Yes.
The greatest depression has begun. How are people going to pay their rent? How are people going to pay their bills? How are they going to pay their mortgages? And what they're doing, all these clowns with this new law that they're dumping the trillions of dollars in, that's going to go to the big corporations, and they give us a lousy $1,000, you know, which adds up to nothing.
Yeah.
And again, this is, you know, this, you know, they Bernie
Sanders. Yeah, you and I get $1,000, but somebody's getting trillions of dollars. And when they put this thing through, they're saying, well, it's a $2 trillion program. Somebody else says it's $5 trillion. Another person says it's $6 trillion. Are you kidding me? You don't even know if this is $2, $5, or $6 trillion?
And that's why it goes back to gold. And the other point that you just made, they complain about socialism coming in America. You have socialism for the rich.
Yeah.
Poverty for the capitalism for the rest of us. We have to live by capitalism. They get socialism. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, going back to gold and where the economies are going, you're seeing with all this printing of digital money backed by nothing and printed on nothing, that's why gold prices are going to skyrocket, because they're doing this all over the world. They're pumping in all this fake money. The next, and by the way, watch for gold confiscation. They did it in the last depression. They're going to do it again. And if you have any doubts, look at how the governments take control like that, from prime ministers down to little low-life city clerks telling you what to do.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a gold haircut, I guess we could call that. And, you know, I remember H.L. Mencken saying, you know, when you had FDR come in and everybody was, it was happy days are here again because he stopped alcohol prohibition, H.L. Mencken said, you know, a year ago, if I had a flask in my pocket of alcohol and a gold coin in my pocket, the alcohol was illegal and the gold was legal. Now, this year, the alcohol is legal and the gold is illegal.
All right. Now, the same thing, and I want to make that point. The reason they made alcohol, remember, these are the slimy little low-life politicians that made alcohol illegal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they make it legal in 1933 because they put tons of taxes on top of it. Mm-hmm. So now all of these little low-life politicians that are closing down everybody's business, and so many businesses are not going to be able to get back, recuperate from this. These little slimy politicians, they get their money coming in. They don't have to worry about businesses closing down. They steal our money in the name of taxes. They're doing the same thing now. I mentioned that little arrogant Cuomo with that attitude. That attitude. You know what's an essential business in New York?
An abortion clinic.
Liquor stores.
Which one? Liquor stores. Yeah, liquor stores. Liquor and they're keeping the pot stores open. They're keeping the liquor stores open. They're keeping the abortion clinics open. Everything else has got to shut.
And cannabis sales now, again, these are the same low lives that made it illegal, but now you can sell all you want because we're getting big tax money because we're taxing the hell out of you because we don't have to work. We're politicians. We don't have to work. You're jerks. You have to pay us. So going back to where this global economy is going, name the country, Italy, Spain, Germany, Norway, India now. One after another closed down, 3 billion people closed down out of work. There's no precedent for this in world history.
That's right.
People
and
are
it's worldwide, too. Yeah, worldwide.
That's what I'm saying. It's worldwide.
Yeah.
And so now, take the restaurant business. In the best of times, that's a tough business. The margins are paper thin.
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to recuperate? I have tenants already. They're not paying their rent.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, they're not going to recuperate from this. And you have these ignorant politicians telling us what to do. As I said, just as they start wars with no exit strategy, guess what? This is not only no exit strategy, it's a disaster strategy.
Oh, yeah. This is a war against small and medium-sized businesses. We already saw from the first round of this relief. They said, we're going to put mandates on these small guys that aren't going to be on the big ones. They've got more than 500 employees. It's also sanctions. That's really what we're seeing right here. Economic sanctions on small and medium-sized businesses. Well, we're out of time, and thank you so much for joining us. Gerald Celente, again, you can find his excellent Trends Journal at trendsresearch.com. And, Gerald, you have been on this for a while.